Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name.
Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
Ike! I hear you're gonna kill me. Get out your gun and commence.
I ain't healed, Doc.
You scum-sucking bastard. If you ain't healed, go and arm yourself. I shall meet you in the street. Who will give this yellow-bellied prick a gun?
Doc, that's enough. I ain't gonna fight you tonight, Doc. But your fight's coming soon enough.
Now, my mama always told me never put off till tomorrow people you can kill today.
Doc, he ain't armed and he's drunk.
Ain't no law against killing drunks. If you intend to open your lying mouth about me and my friends again, then go heal and admit it to fight.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Just Another Fanboy. I'm your host, my name is Steven, and today we continue with my short story, The Other Gunfight. I recorded 5 chapters, and I am sharing 1 chapter each day this week with all of you. In return, all that I ask for is some feedback. Is this something I should move forward with? Do you like it? Does it resonate with you? Let me know. JustAnotherFanboy@gmail.com. And who knows, we may end up with another new podcast, Steven Wright Stuff. Until then, here is chapter 5, the final chapter of The Other Gunfight. Enjoy.
The Other Gunfight, chapter 5, William McCarty. I just popped Bob a quick jab to the face, square on the nose, actually. Most guys would be seeing stars about now, or not much at all, really, not through the tears. Bob Claiborne, on the other hand, did the one thing I did not expect. He screamed, in rage, not pain, and then he jumped on me. Took me completely by surprise, I can tell you. Bob had about 6 inches and 100 pounds on me, so he took me down easily. We rolled about in the dirt as he tried to subdue me. He didn't have an easy time of it. He may have been bigger than me, but I'm squirrely. He'd get a hold of me, I'd pull free. He'd grab a hold another way, I'd slip through. So far, I'd managed to avoid being seriously injured, but then he managed to get on top of me. He wrapped his hands around my neck and squeezed. He didn't say much, didn't have to. His eyes said it all. His were the eyes of a man at the end of his rope. The bulging, maniac, bloodshot eyes of a man out of his damn mind. He was going to kill me there in the dirt, no doubt about it. This was not the plan. I could have gone the traditional route and pulled my gun and taken the man in, but I'd been angry. I was still sore over the rifle butt to the face, and now I catch him trying to steal my horse. The anger had clouded my judgment, but most of it had been my own arrogance. My pride wouldn't allow me to handle the situation using the safe route, so I'd picked an unnecessary fight, and now I was paying the price. But I'm someone who can roll with the punches when life throws me a few. I tried not to panic, not an easy thing to do when your life is being squeezed out of you. So, as I struggled to breathe, I slammed my fist into Bob's kidney. Not once, not twice, but 3 times in rapid succession. He grunted in pain, let go of my throat, and rolled off of me. I tasted air for what felt like the first time there on the street in front of Hafford's Saloon, on my hands and knees in the dirt, coughing as I tried to take in as much air as I could. There's nothing like the feeling, the rush that courses through you when you escape your death. There's no better feeling in the world. It didn't last long. Bob was on his feet.
"You just couldn't leave me alone, could you?"
he said, and then kicked me in the side. I rolled away from him, trying to gain enough space so that I could pull myself to my feet.
"You just had to keep coming at me," Bob said with a growl.
He kicked me again. My ribs weren't going to hold out much longer.
"It's my family we're talking about," Bob shouted.
He swung a foot my way a third time, but I was ready for this one. I caught his leg and yanked it out from under him. He fell like a tree to Paul Bunyan's axe. I pulled myself to my feet and dusted off. My saddlebag and its contents were strewn about around us. I looked for my pistols, but couldn't find them. "Damn it, Bob," I said, standing over him. "You're the one who came back into town. You tried to steal my horse. What did you expect me to do?" Bob began to laugh. Or was he crying? Sounded like a little of both.
"Your horse?"
he said, sitting up and wiping tears from his eyes. He was smiling, but there was a resigned sadness in his eyes. "My horse," I said, and I threw a thumb over my shoulder in the direction of said horse. I kept scanning for my guns. I just needed one, but I tried not to look too obvious.
"Mine threw me," Bob said, then laughed. "Just outside of town, and the beast threw me from its back. Walked into town and took the first horse I saw, or tried to."
Bob rose, still laughing, still crying.
"Just wanted to do right by my family," he said. "Help restore the family name."
"Come on, Bob," I said. "Be fair, there wasn't much to the family name to begin with, and you know it." Bob moved like a snake and struck. His big fist caught me just above the right eye. "Damn it, Bob," I shouted. "Stop hitting me." Bob wasn't listening. He took another swipe at me. I ducked under it and threw a fist into his stomach. The breath whooshed out of him, but that didn't stop him from bringing an elbow down on the back of my head. I bit my tongue, then I tasted blood. Something dripped into my right eye, and for a moment I was blind. More blood. Bob's fist must have broken the skin. Bob took advantage and came at me from the right. Another big fist connected with my temple, and I dropped, my face slamming into something hard and unmoving in the dirt. I found myself once more on my hands and knees in the middle of Allen Street. I could do nothing but cough and spit blood. Bob didn't move.
"You need to leave," he said. "Go back to the Phoenix Initiative and tell them you couldn't find me. Tell them or die here."
"Okay," I said, stalling. I wasn't about to let this guy go. "Okay, I'll go back." I tried to locate what my face had connected with when I'd fallen and found it almost at once. It was a revolver, my Colt 41, the model they called the Thunderer. I crawled toward Bob so that the gun was underneath me and out of his line of sight. "Just don't kill me," I said, "please." He laughed.
"You turned pretty pathetic really quick," he said.
I snatched up the gun and rose quickly like one of them jack-in-the-boxes. I pointed the pistol at him and smiled. "Sorry, Bob," I said. "I lied. I'm taking you back with me." Bob only grinned in return. That was until I held up his deflector shield box and showed it to him. The grin at that point slid right off his face and fell into the dirt at his feet. That manic, desperate look dropped once more into Bob's eyes, and he lunged at me. I was ready for him this time and was through messing around. I stepped to the side and brought the butt of the gun down on his head. This time, it was his turn to spend a little time in the dirt. "I'm sorry it had to come to this, Bob," I said, then gave him a hard kick to the ribs. "But honestly, what the hell were you thinking with all this?" I kicked him again. "The plan was just plain stupid." I crouched next to him as he writhed and moaned in pain. "I mean, come on, Bob. Did you really think that the future of the Claiborne family hinged on Billy? Truth is, Billy Claiborne was an idiot. He carried himself around like he was some kind of dangerous man, but in the end, he was just a coward. Anything that you or any Claiborne that came before you did wrong in life, they only have themselves to blame. To lay it all on Wyatt Earp only proves how damn stupid your family is." I pulled the watch from my vest pocket. "Of course," I continued, "I'm a bit biased when it comes to your great-grandfather. Did you know that at one point your great-granddad wanted folks to call him Billy the Kid?" Bob continued to focus on his pain rather than my story. I didn't care. "Yeah, true story," I said. "Of course, being the coward that he is, he waited until the real Billy the Kid had been shot and killed before he tried to take over the moniker." I clicked open the watch. "I have to say, Bob, I took some offense to that. A lot, actually. So much so that there's a small part of me that wants to ignore the rules and go find Billy Claiborne and shoot him myself. Knowing that Buckskin Leslie will do it for me in a year is about the only thing stopping me."
"What do you care?"
Bob asked, spitting the words out. Well, hell, Bob, don't you know who I am? I stood. Well, I'm William McCarty, also known as William H. Bonney, but more famously known as Billy the Kid. And you, my stupid friend, are under arrest. With that, I clicked the watch 6 more times. 1 short, 3 long, 2 short.
Report,
said Phil from the watch. Target acquired, I said. Take him in.
Copy.
A light surrounded Bob for just a moment, and then suddenly he was gone.
And you?
Phil said.
You set for the time jump? You still need to take care of your horse.
Still got to deal with the horse, I said. Besides, I'm not quite ready to leave just yet.
Why? What else you got to do back there?
Well, I said, I thought I'd go find Buckskin Leslie and buy the man a drink. The end. Afterward. Billy Claiborne was a real person. He was born October 21st, 1860, in Yazoo County, Mississippi. He eventually found his way to Tombstone, Arizona, and did participate in the gunfight at the OK Corral. And by participate, I mean he ran once the shooting started. I'm not judging. I'd have run too. I mean, bullets hurt and stuff. He would eventually be shot down and killed by Buckskin Frank Leslie on November 14th, 1882. Billy shot first. If Billy ever had any children that would have continued the Claiborne name on through the ages, and to produce one willing to travel through time in order to kill Wyatt Earp, is nothing more, of course, than fiction. So did Billy have any children? Probably not. He was never married that I can find. But to be honest, the whole of my research on Billy Claiborne consisted of reading his Wikipedia entry, which isn't very long. As far as the gunfight at the OK Corral, I'd listened to a wonderful book called The Last Gunfight, The Real Story of the Shootout at the OK Corral and How It Changed the American West by Jeff Gwynn. I'd also watched the movie Wyatt Earp starring Kevin Costner many, many times. In fact, the movie inspired the original short story that The Other Gunfight is based on. I'll explain. In 2012, I was a member of an online writers group. We'd had an assignment one week to write a short story, 1,000 words or less, about someone who overhears a conversation around them. I'd recently watched Wyatt Earp, so I'd written about someone who was in Hafford's saloon just before the gunfight. It was taken directly from a scene in the movie. The story was 857 words long and not very good. I'd titled it, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the OK Corral. Eventually, I'd expanded it and released it as a free short story under the same title. That one was about 3,000 words long, but I never felt right with the story. Then last year, I listened to The Last Gunfight, The Real Story of the Shootout at the OK Corral and How It Changed the American West by Jeff Gwynn. There was nothing in the book about time travel, of course, the book being nonfiction and all, but it just struck a chord with me and I got to writing. I got 2.5 chapters in and walked away. I got to thinking about it recently, September of 2017 for those listening to this later, and the ending just fell into place for me. So I finished the story and you have just listened to it. I hope you enjoyed it. I do want to write an actual Western someday, but for the time being, this is as close as you're going to get from me. Stephen R. Orr, October 10th, 2017.
There you go, folks. Another chapter of The Other Gunfight. I hope you enjoyed it. I really do. And again, I would love your feedback, as this is something I'm thinking of moving forward with eventually. Let me know. JustAnotherFanboy@gmail.com. Until then, folks, be nice to each other. Bye. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Just Another Fanboy. Questions and comments can be directed to justanotherfanboy@gmail.com, or you can find me at all the regular social media hangouts by searching for @StephenOrElse. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. I also invite you to join our subscription program, Stephen or Else Beyond. And in return, you'll get episodes of Just Another Fanboy along with every other show under the Stephen or Else media umbrella early and ad-free. Check out the link in the show notes or go to beyond.stephenorelse.com to start your free trial today. Just Another Fanboy is a presentation of Stephen or Else Media. For more nerdy content hosted by me, check out somanypodcasts.com. All links will be in the show notes.
I just don't think I can move through life knowing that a guy named Steven did this to me.
How could you let this happen, Steven?
Steven! Thank God.
had a horrible feeling I was going to be the only one here.
There's always next time, Steven.
It all ends now.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.